Me, but I'm going to give my best what I can. So just a little bit of background about the book of Galatians. It's really a blessing. I've been reading it lately, and I can encourage you guys to do as well. To do so, get yourself a good study Bible or Bible commentary and really enjoy it and dig into it and see what God has for us. So a little bit of background. You know, through the working of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul was preaching the gospel, the good news, there in Galatia, and churches has been established there. And then we see in this book, after Paul has left, after a short time, you know, false teachers, or as Scripture says, those who trouble them, came to that region, and they really stir a little bit in church. They brought a false message, these teachers, and they try to convince the Galatians of a gospel that is not true, as Paul is saying, and that was requiring them to be circumcised. You know, so if anyone were to walk in here and he or she had to preach that any of us had to be circumcised to be Christians or anything, then I will rebuke that person, and hopefully you will not even allow that person to come in here, because it definitely isn't necessary. One of the key doctrines that we see here in Galatians is justification by faith. Just as we have prayed this morning, and it was on the slides for little Clarissa, we believe that in God's time and through the working of the Holy Spirit, that by grace and faith in Jesus Christ, that she will be saved. And this is something very central in this book. Paul is telling us a lot about it. And then in Galatians 2 verse 16, it's one of the central or most important verses in the book of Galatians. About three times, Paul is telling us that the right standing with God does not come by keeping the law in any way, but only through faith in Jesus Christ. Only through faith in Jesus Christ. And that is so important. That is where Luther and Calvin and all those guys said, you know, the just shall live by faith. It's one of the most important doctrines in our hearts, in our lives as a church, because if that wasn't the truth, we couldn't be here this morning. Then the gospel couldn't be, or can't be, the gospel. So let me read to you this morning. It will be up there on the board or on the slides as well. If you've got your Bible, please feel free to follow as well. Galatians 2 verse 11. But when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face, because he stood condemned. For before certain men came from James, he was eating with the Gentiles. But when they came, he drew back and separated himself, fearing the circumcision party. And the rest of the Jews acted hypocritically, along with him, so that even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. But when I saw that their conduct was not in step with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas before them all, if you, though a Jew, live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how can you force the Gentiles to live like Jews? So this is a part of scripture we're going to look at this morning, and I just want us to dig in a little bit deeper, do a little bit of exegesis, and see what we can learn from this before I really get to my point this morning. Now Cephas, that is the Greek name for Paul, for Peter, referring to Peter. So if you didn't know that, now you know. I just want to read you from one or two other translations just to make this statement really solid. The New King James Bible said, in verse 11, I withstood him to his face. You know, the ESV that I used said opposed. I opposed him to his face. The New King James said, I withstood him to his face. The Amplified Bible said, I protested and opposed him to his face. And then the Afrikaanse overtaling said, ek het hom openlik teengestaan. So I guess that's making a point very clear, that we can see that Paul really had a problem with Peter. Now, just a little bit of context, something that we need to remember. Remember, Peter was one of the disciples. He walked with Jesus Christ. He really had that relationship. But where did Paul get his gospel? He didn't walk with Jesus Christ, you know. He was actually a Pharisee at that stage. So, you know, he got his, when on the Damascus Road, you know, when he was converted, you know, he said in Scripture, he received his gospel from Jesus Christ. Now, it's almost like your younger brother coming to you and saying to the older brother, listen, you are doing this or that wrong. Now, I've got a younger sister, and I really didn't like it when she came to me and say, you are doing this wrong or that wrong. And, you know, many times I was wrong. I know kids, they like it a lot to tell each other who's right and who's wrong. So keep that in the back of your mind, part of the context. And then there also in verse 11, we see that he says, because he stood condemned. Now that's something to us. I mean, the Apostle Peter, he wrote in parts of the New Testament, if he could fall, if he could make a mistake, if he could miss something, so could we. And that is very humbling. You know, none of us can say that we never ever sin or are tempted in any way. If we move on to verse 12, we can see, you know, this is the this there we can see why Paul is reprimanding Peter. We can see what the problem is. You know, it wasn't because of a change in Peter's theology or anything, but I read about it and they say it was because fear in Peter's heart. You know, first he was doing something. It's like I asked Ronald if I could use the example. We all know church is part of Jesus's plan, and say Ronald walks in here one day and he says, no, you didn't have to come to church anymore. Church is now over and finished. We're in the 21st century. You can all go home. You know, then we will know there's a big problem. There's a big problem in his theology, you know. And I would definitely, and I guess you guys as well, we will rebuke him. And if he's a very strong, influential character, you know, some people might stop coming to church because he said so. I mean, he's standing in the office of an elder. That's why he prayed there this morning. You know, so here we see there's definitely a bit of a dispute. There's definitely something going on here. And the circumcision party came, and I think we can see that Peter was definitely, because Scripture says he lived as a Gentile, he ate as a Gentile, but now these guys came, and Peter drew back. He was afraid, you know, and he wanted to fall back on the old Jewish customs. Then if we look at verse 13, you know, Peter was a leader, he was an apostle, and the dangerous thing we could see is, it says that some of the other the people also followed Peter, even Barnabas, and he stopped eating with the Gentiles, you see. And Barnabas was actually one of the guys, he's been part of the missions to the Gentiles, you know, and even he followed Peter. And I guess that's a word of warning for all the husbands, all the fathers in the house, all the leaders in business, teachers at school, all of us that stands in a place of authority. You know, when we start to publicly sin or do certain things wrong, you know, it might affect other people around us. And they, as I used the example of Reinhold, maybe if you were to say something, I know he's hard, he wouldn't, but maybe some of you might think that, well, maybe he's right. Maybe we can stop going to church or something. I'm just using that as an example. Yes, let's move on to verse 14, and that's the crux where Paul is really telling us he was really fearing for the gospel. Because the basic thing here, Peter was almost saying the effect was for in effect Peter was requiring the Gentiles to observe the food laws to be saved. Now you all know none of us are Jews. We don't have to live like Jews. The Jews have a lot of good things about the culture that we definitely can learn from, but we don't have to keep things like food laws to be Christians. If we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we are justified through our faith in Him. Did you enjoy that? Are you with me? Okay, now let's move on. So there definitely is a warning for us here. If someone like Peter, whether it's through fear or anything else, if he could step back and change the way he lives as a Christian, you know, so can we. We all need to. That's why it's so important to walk in accountability, not to be isolated in any way. If Peter was liable to sin, we can definitely be as well. In James 3 verse 2, James is writing and he says, "For we all stumble in many ways," and he's referring to sin. Okay, so James says we all can stumble. And through whatever, you know, we can almost make a mistake, if I can put it that way, and open our lives to the devastating effects of sin. And as I said earlier, I definitely believe that is something that should be humbling to us, because we all should know we can't make it on our own. Here in John 15, verse 5, Jesus himself was speaking, and he's saying, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Okay? So on our own, you know, you can try to make it in life. You can struggle forth, you know. But apart from Jesus Christ, we can do no good, if I can put it that way. It really is important. And every step of growth that we want to go forward, you know, we are so dependent on the grace of Jesus Christ, because we need it everywhere, every day. We need to live from that place. Then I also say that we should really be careful, especially if you stand in a position of leadership, that the sin in our lives might affect the people around us. You know, if you are a husband, praise God, I know there's no people like this in church, but if you go with your friends and you leave your family at home, maybe you have too much to drink and you come back, you know, that's having a devastating effect on your wife and kids. You know, it must be terrible for young kids to see a dad in a state like that. May that never happen in our lives. Then encouraging and rebuking other believers. Now this was just the background, a little bit of context. Now this is actually the message I have in my heart. This is what I want to share with us. Now you know, when you speak to your teenage sister like me, when we were teenagers, it's very easy to say, yeah, but you this and you that and things like that. But it's tough, you know, to walk to a brother or a sister. Or even if you are Paul, you walk to a Peter, someone that walked with Jesus, and tell that person, listen, I feel in my heart this and that is wrong in your life. Now, this is a very sensitive thing I'm sharing here, because I believe our human rights culture, especially in the Western world today, is teaching us that, soos my oom altyd gesê het, jou saak is jou saak, wat jy doen is jou saak, jy weet. And many times we think that it's my life, I can do whatever I want to, and people will tell you that. Sometimes when you confront people with the truth, they'll tell you, but it's my life, I can do with it what I want. And yes, you can, but there's not blessing in that. There's not blessing in that. You know, it's like sharing the gospel with someone. Sometimes you feel intimidated or scared or anything like that, but to share the good news might just keep that person from hell. And that's the truth. It really is the truth. If you don't share the gospel with someone you love, and this is the point I want to make. If you love someone, you will speak the truth in love to them. You don't walk into someone's life, tell them you're an idiot, you're a sinner. You don't do that, okay? Paul was rebuking Peter here in public, okay? But it was because Peter's sin was public. You know, people saw it all around, you know. And Reinald is an elder, if I can go back to that example, and I would rebuke him in public because it's affecting the church. But if you, say for instance, you had a drinking problem or whatever, and you are sliding towards that place again, you go to that person in private. You share with that person. You first pray and really trust the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. So, friends, I really believe for us as a church, us as Christians, that it's biblical to go to someone and to talk to that person about the truth, especially a brother, a sister, someone you love, someone who's close to you. Obviously, someone you don't know, you just need to do it with so much more humility and respect. Okay? I'm not telling you today, walk to the first sinner you know and tell that person what is wrong in a rude way. That's not my heart. We should always keep to the truth, to the biblical truth. But if there's someone in your life and you know that person is slipping away and you love that person, rather walk to him or her and share the truth. Submit it to that person. And if you are on the receiving end, I have been, it's not very nice, it hurts, and it's easy to get offended, but take that thing and take it to God. And prayerfully submit it before God. See if it's in line with Scripture. And if that person is right, ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to bring change in your life wherever change is needed. We see this important principle with Jesus here in Matthew 18 verse 12. I want to read to you. And it says, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly, I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. You see, there we see that principle. And so many times we've got a suspicion someone is going astray. It doesn't even have to be in your church. I've got friends in other churches as well. Okay? And that we should go after that one. Sometimes leave the 99, that's okay. And go after that one and say, listen, my friend, can we have coffee? And then you say to that person whatever is on your heart. then you share that person. We also see the in Galatians 6 verse 1, it says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you also, lest you too be tempted. Okay? You who are spiritual. We have the Holy Spirit in us. I remember the example, many of you will know, our regional director, Pastor Jan Kor. The one day I was talking to him and he was telling me something and I asked him, how do you know that? And he said, I've got the Holy Spirit. God gave us the Holy Spirit for ministry, for the good. Okay? And many times there's something bugging us in our spirits when you talk to someone, maybe in a small group at church. You know, a while ago, me and one of the elders, we had a difficult conversation. Stuff that I don't like, actually. I'm not a confrontational person. This test, I'm a classic S. Okay? But we spoke to that person, and you know, it was difficult, but I could see the truth was a blessing. I could see it. And that person opened himself up, and we could pray for him, and we received it. To leave him alone, the problem will just go on, you know? And I guess it goes for our marriages, those of you, those of us that's married, many times that elephant is standing there, and we try to work past it because we're busy and we've got kids, but maybe sometimes we should sit down with our spouse and say to him or her, listen, don't you think we need to work on this thing? As a couple, as an individual, anything like that, you know? I remember on my uncle's farm, yeah, in the south. Now, always when we were when it was dry and we were, maybe it was winter and cold, and we got a lamb, maybe the mum deserted it, or old ewe or something, you know, he picked it up and he took it home, and he tried to nurture that one, the one, to help that one to bring it through, you know, to raise it, you know. And we should have that heart of Jesus, after going after someone, leaving everything we're busy with, and really go and love that person and see if we that God through our work can help that person to come back. So please don't be arrogant. Speak privately to someone. You know, so many in our culture define love as leaving others alone, but Scripture teaches that love has the courage to confront. And this is what happened here. As I said, Paul, in a sense, he wasn't walking with Jesus. He wasn't in Jerusalem as a believer in that sense. And he went to Peter. And if you go and read Scripture later on, in Scripture in Corinthians, and so when Paul is introducing Peter, he's not that sinner, that bad guy. They were in agreement again. So I believe Peter received this rebuke when after Paul opposed him. It wasn't a fit of temper. But Paul was reminding Peter that he's straight from the truth of the gospel. You know, and many times we don't walk away from the gospel. We don't say we don't like Jesus anymore. Maar soos in Afrikaans sê, dis die klein jakkelsies. There's something small that comes into your life. And if you are maybe not prayed up and in accountability between men or your friends or women, you know, it's easy to open a door for that thing and for something too bad to get hold into your life. I believe it must have took a lot of courage. You know, Peter was a guy with a strong personality, you know. So I think it took a lot of courage for Paul to go to him and to basically rebuke him and to oppose him. It must have been tough. And I think for us it's tough sometimes as well, many times. You know, it's not easy to go to someone and to share the truth. If you feel maybe that person might be offended or walk away or anything, that's why it's so important to pray for that person before you go. As I said, also to accept that correction in humility. And I really feel for us as a church, friends, that we should be more open for people to speak into our lives. Now, please don't any person that's just walking around telling you stuff, don't accept it. Take it to God and see if there's confirmation for that. Okay? I want to testify a little bit from the married men, small groups, Nadia and Ryanel, Dirk, Perty, the guys that I'm seeing sitting here this morning. You know, you guys would be able, Hannes, could be able to testify. You know, I told the guys at the start, we don't want to sit here and just talk about stuff. Then we can watch rugby or do anything. Because, you know, when you are very religious and you sit in a circle or a group and you ask someone, so, hoe gaan dit met jou? How are you? Then you say, no, I'm fine, blah, blah, blah. And you know nothing's going to happen. But when someone is honest, and we had it now two times, and someone say, it's stuff are bad, I don't feel good, something's wrong, you know, there's an opportunity for ministry. There's an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to come and minister to us. And I want to testify, because I've seen it in our small group specifically, that we can open our hearts in a place of trust and tell each other, listen, things aren't so good. Maybe in my marriage, my kids, my own relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, but if you're standing alone out there, there's no one, no place where someone can speak into your life. Or when a tough time comes, you maybe doesn't feel comfortable to come and speak to the pastor or elder or anyone. That's why it's so important to stand in a relationship with other leaders. You know, we all have our blind spots, things that we can't see. One of mine is, before I come to church, I ask Maritza, does this fit together? Does it make sense? Does it look shocking? You know, if I can, I would just bring my lekker plaaskleer and I feel lekker gemakkelijk. Okay? But she says, no, don't put this and that together. It doesn't work. Praise God for women in our lives. But we all have our blind spots as well. You know, places where you don't see, maybe, spiritually speaking now, where the devil is actually like a Jack Russell trying to nibble away or something. You know, and it's important that we have a brother or a sister to see that thing, who has the courage and to speak there into your life, to be honest with each other. A part of my testimony, I remember in 2004, I was basically, because of work and working in one place, staying in another place, hanging between two of our shofar churches. It was a tough situation, just because I need to travel a lot, and I thought I didn't have a lot of time. But that was possibly the worst year in my life, because I made a lot of mistakes, because I never submitted in one of those places. It wasn't a good time in my life, you know. And I know that's why it's a blessing that a tree must be planted, okay? So I really believe that's the word I've got in my heart. So I'm submitting it before you guys. Go and test it if you want to. But I want to encourage us, especially our small groups, wherever we have fellowship. You know, if you believe you've got something on your heart for a friend, for a brother or sister, go and speak it. Go and share with that person. Do it with the attitude of grace and humility. Okay? Don't be arrogant or anything. Then someone won't receive from you. Okay? I believe it's something that we need to grow in. And I think those of you who are married or are engaged, I know there's some of you as well, you know, that moments where the young man, maybe first time he shares his heart with a lady or something, it's such an honest place. I think back of maybe in my own life, you know, and it's always something that's standing there. It's like a memorial. No? And I believe that situations like this are very precious. But it's important that we all lift up to that. So this is the word that I have. This is what I want to share this morning. Maybe Harry, if you can play us some music. I've got on my heart, if there's anyone in the house this morning, if there's anyone sitting and you feel you derailed a little bit, okay? If you feel stuff in your life isn't okay, it's not at the place where it's supposed to be. And maybe you've been trying now for a while to get it right yourself. You know, I've been in situations in my life where I tried to fix stuff, but I just couldn't, you know. And then going to someone, spiritually more mature person, speaking to that person, sharing with that person, praying together, then the breakthrough came. Okay? Then the breakthrough came. So we're going to still be in an attitude of worship. If there's anyone here this morning and you feel you need prayer because you strayed a little bit from the truth of the gospel, and you know it in your heart, maybe there was conviction this morning, then I would like to pray with you. And I want to ask Reinhold and some of the facilitators to be in the front, that we pray with you. Don't feel ashamed. Don't feel what will the people say or anything like that. I can assure you, many times before us men, you know, we are so scared to say, but I battle with this or that. But the moment you do it, you know, there's opportunity for ministry in your life. And it's such a blessing. And then secondly, the second group of people I would like to speak to this morning, if there's anyone like that here this morning, we talked about the justification by faith in Jesus Christ. If there's anyone in the house this morning, and you're not so sure about this grace thing, how does it work? How am I justified? What does it mean when we say that the just shall live by faith? If there's anyone here, and you're not sure with your relationship with Jesus Christ, and this is very important, even if there's just one person, you know, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes just for one moment. You know, just close your eyes for one moment, please. If there's anyone in the house, and you just feel, but I need to do business with God. Maybe it's not even related to the two things I've said now. Maybe you just feel like I'm broken. I'm looking for a shoulder to cry on. I need someone to pray with me. You're welcome. We will be here. Amen. So if there's anyone here this morning and you feel you need prayer, I will be standing here. And I can do nothing for you, but I know my God can. Okay. For the rest of you guys, you please have fellowship now. The church is over now. There's orals and cookies and nice things. Please talk to someone you haven't met before. And for those people, if you feel it in your heart, you're getting nervous now. You're getting nervous and you feel, maybe I should go, but what will this or that say? Please come. I would love to pray with you. Amen. Enjoy your Sunday. Be blessed. Enjoy the rest of the day. And have a wonderful Sunday. Amen.